And a lot of tough sayings Jesus had, but I think one of the most important things was how much he loves us. And sometimes when you got a challenge and so forth, now this is in a spiritual sense, like Jesus held that child and just say, Daddy, can I crawl up on your lap? I need you to hold me. And he will. Try it. With that, I want to thank you for being here this morning, and because it is a wonderful thing that we have in our country that they don't have everywhere else in the world. Most countries do, but Christian worship in this country is just so beautiful because it's the people coming and honoring God and to listen to the Word of God and to be able to apply that Word of God to our lives, because it's challenging out there. My question for all of us is, do you guard your space? I got to go to Leesburg next week to ethics school. They call it sexual ethics, but it's more than just sexual ethics. It's clergy ethics and everything. Do you have any ethics in your business or your life that you know? I think it's good. It's a good refresher. So now, before I hug Judy or aggravate her, I ask her for permission to aggravate her or to hug her. And that's basically what they're talking about. You need to honor each other's space, and it's okay, but you sometimes just need to ask permission. Well, it's been a while now. Maybe it was since last hurricane. We were still in the old house, and there was rumbling on the porch. So I opened the door, and there was a possum in the corner. And he saw me. He just backed up, and he started hissing, and he got them teeth out. So I managed to, I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to call my grandson because he'd come up with his .22 and shoot him. That's what he does. That's like Don carries a rifle around to shoot squirrels. But I didn't want to do that, so I got the broom and I chased him off. But he was just protecting his space. Now, I run across something else, an article in the United Kingdom about a badger. Now, I wasn't really sure. Do any of you know what a badger is? Yeah, they're not in our area. If you look at the map where these badgers live, that's sort of like where Helene went, the hurricane. But we do have pet groundhogs and different things, but a groundhog is prey for the badger. They are a mean bunch of people that I understand by looking at them, meaning the badgers. I guess there's a football team with the mascot of the badger. Wisconsin.
And they're not so mean. They're nice.
But I found out about the badgers that they can be snarly, they can be vicious, and they can be aggressive, especially if you come too close to their little nest or where they're there. So sometimes you got to be careful about that. But otherwise, you may be running for your life when those sharp teeth and their feisty attitude, and the badger is naturally an aggressive animal. This report that I found came out of Lancaster, England, and it reports that there was a badger that went on a two-day rampage. He attacked five people, causing a huge reign of terror in the town, biting everyone in its path for no apparent reason. Then there was another report with a similar thing over in Scotland, and this woman was found dead after being mauled by a badger when her car broke down. Now, these are really extreme instances and circumstances, but my question is this: when you see a badger, you get away from him. I got a big hole, and they burrow holes. They live down in the ground. Now, I'm familiar with groundhogs from Pennsylvania, and probably some. I got something out in our barn or cave, whatever you want to call it, that dug a big hole right by my office, about that big around, and then around on the other side he dug another one. And badgers are that way, they can dig, and I don't know what's it, I have never seen it, and I hope I never do see it. But I say all that to say this, that badgers are relentless territorial. They're very competitive, their aggressive nature makes them one of nature's least favorite critters to encounter. So here we are, humans. Did you know we could be territorial? Sometimes we have difficulty with people. Sometimes we have difficulties with things in our life. I know some of us here don't like spiders, but spiders can be intimidating. And you don't want to invade their space because they might bite you. Human beings also have a tribal attitude along with a social nature. We value inclusiveness and openness, but with our focus on ourselves, those we deem family and friends and those with common interest or opinions feel far more welcome to us than those who differ from us. That's what I was talking with Arthur and Cameron about. You know, we're all the same, but we're different. As a base with human beings, we are instinctively territorial. In the scripture that I read, Jesus continues to teach the disciples in what I like to call lessons in leadership. Last week, we looked at Jesus as he redefined the meaning of leading and being a servant to others, lifting others up instead of oneself. This pushback against our human nature for individualing continued in the scripture that I read. And Jesus challenges territorialism, competitiveness, and his disciples with his concept of leadership, encouraging his disciples in practicing self-awareness. Jesus encouraged them to tone down their competitive tail feathers when someone is in their periphery who does not identify as one of Jesus' own posse. They called the 12 disciples Jesus' posse. You can find that in Scripture too, depending on the translation. And when Jesus heard his disciples that this guy was going out in Jesus' name casting out demons, Jesus said, "No, whoever's for us is not against us. Don't worry about that guy, because whoever is not against us is for us." So holding that child on his lap from the picture in the first scriptures that we looked at last week, he used an example of humility. It was one of his lessons. So Jesus returns to the conversation again with the child on his lap, and he said, "If any of you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea." Now, that has to be one of the strongest statements that I think that we ever heard coming from Jesus' mouth. He goes on warning them to put aside their judgy attitudes, their competitive spirits, their exclusionary treatment of others, to be at peace with one another. Jesus knows continuing in such a territorial matter will harm and inhibit their ministry in ways that will kill his mission, why he came. To be a part of Jesus' leadership development program meant that you needed to widen your umbrella, broaden your view, and put your territorial instincts aside and become a collaborative leader working together even with those who may not be a part of your inner circle. So to share these skills and to build the kingdom of love and peace and value for all, territorialism claims a deep-seated place in our psychics, our instincts for defending and protecting our territories, no matter how we define them. And it comes from a human desire for safety and security and status and identity. Our ancestors developed tribes to protect valuable and needed resources from raiders and ensured survival of the group. So that instinct is hard to keep at bay, even though we humans today don't face those kind of challenges for survival, for food, as our ancestors did. Today, we know that collaboration works better to further our community and our workplaces. Sharing skills and empowering others and risking relationships and generating ideas together to foster innovation in a more civilized society. So the leadership gurus today encourage people in workplaces and institutions to develop better ways of trusting each other, of collaborating together on projects that would benefit the wider community and embracing a global identity. I was fascinated this morning to see SpaceX launch a capsule to the space station to get those two stranded astronauts back. No government funds, no nothing, just out of the goodness of their heart, whoever runs SpaceX, I think it's Elon Musk or somebody, but they decided they're going to go and rescue those fellows up there. It's interesting. So there was an article in the Harvard Business Review about this, and about the mindset to collaborate, which rebuilds a self-awareness of people that we're working with, moving from a me attitude to a we attitude, building trust and shared communities and commitment to one another. So the scriptures that we are looking at this month, we're still in Mark, even next week we'll be in Mark. Jesus is doing exactly this with his disciples. He's trying to help them see differently about their neighborhoods, their biases, and those around them, so that they will be able not only to accept others as value and worthy followers of Christ, but to accept those who may work beside them and join in their mission. We call that discipleship. It's hard work, but it's good to do that because we're still on the mission that Jesus told us to do. And you got to be open to expanding that group. You don't want a closed thing. We want to be able to share the gospel everywhere with everybody. But in order to do this, Jesus was trying to help them understand him and his mission and their role in carrying it out. They must learn that their stories are a small part of God's story, and that their role as leaders is not to entertain status, not hierarchies, not to stake out territories, but to expand their vision to include all. You know how many all are? All of God's people. They must lower their opinions of themselves and lift up others and see others as equal, as people in need of God's blessings. And they must commit to the mission of Jesus, which is love and inclusion, having faith in him, trusting in his vision, and not acting on their lesser inclinations. This requires a whole attitude of letting go and let God. Letting go of control and embracing faith in Christ and his mission. Letting go of self-interest and becoming interested in God's people, all of God's people, all around the world. All sizes, all shapes, all colors, they're all God's people. But being a disciple of Jesus, sometimes we feel it's our faith is the only one that's authentic. And at times our human nature gets us in that trouble. But if we allow ourselves to fall into territorialism as a disciple of Christ, we will begin to stifle all the important things in Jesus' mission. For the church, this becomes very important. And the good news is that we humans, unlike the badgers, have an opportunity to tap into aspects of our nature. For human beings also have the potential to act truly compassionate, truly loving, truly tolerant, and giving, as Dave just mentioned about giving. It's not always giving ourselves, but money, resources, giving, an attitude of giving. Now, if we know that we're all like sheep and have gone astray, Scripture relates all that. But we also know that sometimes our closest relative in DNA is an ancestor that is not human, and it's called a bonobo. You know what a bonobo is? It's an ape. It's a fancy word for an ape. And I'm probably butchering that word because I butcher English language words. But an ape, unlike chimpanzees, is a very peace-loving, gentle animal. They're known to share their food with others, express empathy, and invite others into their communities and welcome cooperation between the groups and the families. While many species in the animal kingdom, and we are a species of the animal kingdom, just so happen we happen to be human, and the ape not human, but we're all part of this animal kingdom. We struggle sometimes to maintain dominance. And the apes, curiously, seems to be becoming more and more domesticated and all on their own. If you ever watch movies of them, especially the mother ape as they care for their little babies, it's fascinating. Somehow, the apes have realized that they will thrive better and more abundantly through compassion and kindness rather than dominance or aggression. If we humans can only follow suit and learn a little bit about that. So whether in our homes, our community, or our church, or the nation, the more we cultivate among ourselves the vision that Christ has cast for collaboration, compassion, empathy, and sharing rather than territorialism. The more that we understand God's kingdom and his vision, the better off we are. And he gave us a clue in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall never die, but have eternal life. I think the least we can do is give the lessons that Jesus taught our humble attention. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. You know what makes Jesus the perfect intercessor is that he humbled himself, came from heaven, through a virgin birth because he wanted to be like us so that he could understand us. And he also wanted to come into this world without sin. That's why he chose Mary, a virgin, and the Holy Spirit impregnated her. And then he was born through the birth canal like you and I. And he experienced everything in this life. Growing up from a young man full of wisdom and stature, he learned everything. He also was treated very badly, as you know. But he can then come and say, Father, I went on that little mission and I know these people. I was one like them. Forgive them for what they do and guide them and strengthen them in Jesus' precious name. Because I would probably never came back to the church if it would have been a hellfire and brimstone type of church. But there's nothing wrong with that. Some people need that beat on the head, as some of the old timers used to put them on the front bench. They used to call it the anxious seat. And they wouldn't let them go leave church until they come to the altar and accepted Christ in their life. And that was good, because the Holy Spirit will do the rest. But it's a soft, sweet, gentle thing that God wooses, as John Wesley said. God is the hound of heaven, always wooing us into that love relationship. And whoever penned this hymn said it succinctly, as we sing it together, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.